machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba about the principle of Safek Dirais L'chomer. Safek Dirais L'chomer, is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Does the Torah expect us to go L'chomra when there's a Safek? On the Torah level, right? We're not talking about Safek d'rabbanan. On the Torah level, Safek d'oraisa. Okay. Does the Torah expect us to go L'chomra? Or according to the Torah, if it's not a Chumra, if it's not Usr, if it's a Safek, yes, we don't have to go L'chumra. The Rabbanan, that's if you have to be Machmir and go L'chumra by a Safek D'oraisa. She said this was a Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam thinks that it's only a D'rabbanan that we have to go L'chumra. It's not a D'oraisa principle. And we said that the Rashba learns that it's a D'oraisa principle and he brings a number of Rayas. Right? They debate about how to learn Mamzer. And he brings a number of Rayas. He brings Arlo from Chutz Laretz. Raya number two.
He's a trifus, piece of meat.
Okay, good. About the
Ashim Taloi.
And Ashim Taloi, good. And the third Raya was from the din of Rove in general. The idea that we go Basar Rove. The Gemara that looks for a Torah source to go Basar Rove in order to be poshe to something. Okay. So that is a little bit of a background in order to address the question of Svek Sveka. And this is the big sugya of Svek Sveka in Shas. The big sugya is right here on Daf Tes. So we know that the principle is Svek Sveka Lekula. When you have a Svek Sveka, when you have a Suffek on a Suffek, so we go Lekula. Let's just write out again and remind ourselves how that manifests itself in our sugya. So we have the husband who finds the woman Patuach, or he thinks he does. So we have a Suffek. Was it Tachtov, or was it Eno Tachtov? And even on the tzad that it was tacht, this would make her mutter. This would make her aser. But even on the side that it was tachtov, we have a further suffix. Was it ones or was it ratzon? Ones would make her mutter, and ratzon would make her aser. So here's our spek sveka. So we have a suffix, and even on the side that it's aser, we have a further suffix. So the question that all the Achronim ask is, wait a second. This idea that Svek Sveka we go L'kula, that seems to make a lot of sense according to the Rambam. Why? Well, the first Suffek is already a Suffek. It's a Suffek. And what's the din by a Suffek? Midioraisa. You don't have to go L'chumra. You go L'kula when you have a Suffek. The Rabbanon said to be Machmir, which would mean that when I am facing a Safek, Tachtav versus Eno Tachtav, it's only a Din Darabana that I have to go L'chumra. If I wouldn't go L'chumra, I'd be over on an Isser Darabana. So when I'm looking at a Safek, there's an Isser Darabana in front of me. Now, that Isser Darabana is itself the Safek. Because even on the side that it's Aser, there's a Safek Mutter Aser, Ones Ratzam. So it's really a Safek on a shayla derabanan. The shayla is really a shayla derabanan. You have a suffik. Sfekos are really mutter lechachila, midyoraisa. Midyorabanan, I have to be machmir. And now I have a suffik if I need to be machmir on something which is a question in midyorabanan. So for the Rambam, Svek Sveka makes a lot of sense that we're going to go lekula. The question is, what about according to the Rashba? And that's where the whole sugya really begins, just as like an introduction to the sugya. According to the Rashba, the first Safek is also Aser Medioraisa. The Torah doesn't just tell me not to eat Chalef. The Torah tells me also not to eat Safek Chalef. So the Torah tells me there's a Safek Tachtav and a Tachtav. That's an Aser Medioraisa right there. So I'm a Shaila right now on an Aser Medioraisa. Now there's a Safek on that. Well, each Safek, even if you keep having more Sfekos, they're all seemingly Sfekos on an Aser Medioraisa. So we should always be going to Chumra. Why do we say Sfek Sfeka Lukulu? Okay, we'll use that as like a general background question as we begin to analyze this issue. Now, the truth is the Rashba himself was challenged on this question. The Rashba himself was asked, why is a Svek Sveka go L'kula? And the Rashba writes in a tshuva a very interesting line. And it's a one-liner from a tshuva that we're going to spend a little time analyzing. You take a look. This is the old Bekoshi, right? Let's do it. Okay. B'tei Dalecha, oh. I'm reading from the Shud HaRashba, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tav Aleph. Svek Sveka is Odif Kirov. Svek Sveka is good. It works. We can go Lekula, Kirov, just like by Rov. The Efshir, the Olim, Hetero Yoser Mirov. And it might even be better than Rove. V'kevin shekein, kiecha dasdin abasaruba lahatia b'chol yisurin shvetorah, just like we're willing to go based on a Rove whenever you have an Isser, afilu b'tzchazek yisura, even if it's an Isser where there's already a cheskas Isser, there's already something in front of us that we know for sure was Usser. For instance, the chatichas Isser, which is nis'ari of the shtayim shel heter. You have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of non-kosher meat, it falls in, and now I take out one piece. I want to go based on Rov. The likelihood is that I took the kosher piece. But there's definitely an Isser there. There's definitely an Isser there. Still, we go based on Rov. Who adin betray sveike. So too, when you have a svek sveika, the sharia afilu b'ezchazek yisura. So the Rashba, we all know, and as we spend time... Uh-oh, somebody wrote something into my chart. Where's Ben Hamel?
I think
what was that?
I think that's him.
Oh, yeah? See. Okay. So we have... How do we deal with a suffix, right? We asked this question. How do you deal with a suffix? When you have a suffix in front of you, how do you deal with it? Because you don't know what happened. So if you have a video, that would be great. If you have Adim, that would be great. Adim will tell us what happened. If you don't have Adim, you have to do the next best thing. The next best thing is Rove. So if you have a Rove, you go based on a Rove. If you don't have a Rove, then you go based on a Chazaka. If you don't have a Chazaka, so there'll be other things that we can follow. Karov, maybe. So, Adim tell me for sure what happened. It's the gold standard in halacha of evidence. Adim tell me what happened. Rove basically can tell me what happens, because Rove is a statistical probability. It's most likely that X happened in this situation. That's the Rove. That's what normally happens in cases like this. So it's telling me what probably happened. Chazaka is worse than a Rove. Why? Because a Chazaka doesn't tell me what happened. Chazaka tells me what was before. And since we don't know what happened, maybe we should just assume status quo until we know for sure what happened. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what happened. So status quo I know. So we'll stick with status quo. It makes a lot of sense that status quo is worse than Rove. Rove tells me what's the statistical probability that something happened. There's a 95% chance that it happened. Okay, so we can assume that. That's better than status quo, because I have a 95% chance of what happened. A 95% indication of what happened. So comes, well, I'll answer your question in a second. So again, remember, these are ways of dealing with sveikos. We don't want this. We don't want to use these things. We would like to just know what happened without needing to start getting witnesses or looking at roads or looking at chazakas. But a lot of times you don't know what happened. Okay. So comes the Rashba. The Rashba says, why is a svek sveika mutter? Now, for the realm, I have a whole cheshbon of why a svek sveika is mutter. Because it's not really a suffik anymore, because there was a suffik, but that was only midrabanan. Now there's another suffik. You don't have to be machmer on a suffik midrabanan. Comes the Rashba, and the Rashba says, I'll tell you why a svek sveika is mutter. You think svek sveika is a suffik? In fact, it's a rove. Whenever you have a rove is poshing a suffik. You're right, there was a suffik, but once you add another suffik into the mix, it now becomes a rove, and a rove, right? These are all ways of destroying a suffik. These are all ways of destroying a suffik. After a rove, there's no suffik anymore. The rove has clarified the suffik. After you follow chazaka, there might be a rove, but we don't have to worry about the rove. The halacha tells me I can go with the chazaka. So the Rashba has this line in his tshuva where he says, a svek sveika, which if you ask me, what's a svek sveika? Okay, svek sveika is a fancy suffik, but it's still a suffik. Still don't know what to do. Can I eat the meat? Can I not eat the meat? Is the man mutter to his wife, or is he not mutter to his wife? The answer is, you have a rove. That's pretty good. You have a rove. If you have a rove, you no longer have a suffik. The question is, why is it considered a rove? Why is a svek sveika considered a rove? How do we get to a svek sveika being a rove? Question.
Where do you establish? From where do you establish the rove?
The
rove. It doesn't it come from a chazaka.
In which case?
In general, you have a 95%.
So there's two types of ways generally to get to a rove. One type of rove is what we call ruba de isa kamon, which means a rove which is isa. What's isa mean?
Yeah.
It is kamon. It's in front of me. So for instance, if there's 10 stores on the block, 9 of them are kosher, 1 of them is not kosher, and I find a piece of meat, So I look and I do the math. I send out my, you know, my research assistant, and he goes and he says, okay, 9 kosher stores, 1 non-kosher store. There's clearly a rove for kashrus. That's one way to get to a rove. There's another kind of rove, which is called the ruba de lesa kaman, which means a rove that is not in front of us. What does that mean? That means something like most women give birth after 9 months of pregnancy. What? No, chazaka means previous status.
Previous status is that women give birth after 9 months.
So
now
like,
chazaka
would be your wife.
Chazaka, again, there's lots of different types of chazakas. But a ruba de lesa kaman is a statistic in nature. I mean, it's not a statistic in front of me, it's a statistic in nature. And it tells me about what's going to be in the future. Like, it tells me that if my wife gives birth tomorrow, it's probably after 9 months. A chazaka will tell me, you know, if I left my wife a month ago and she was 3 months pregnant, I can still assume that she's pregnant because most women in their 4th month are still pregnant. And her previous status was that she was... And chazaka doesn't tell me, because most women give birth in 9 months, I can assume, therefore, that she hasn't given birth yet. That's not what the chazaka tells me. That ain't a chanami. That would be coming more from a rove. A chazaka tells me something's previous status. So if I know something was kosher, there's no like rove that says most things that were kosher yesterday are still kosher today. I don't think that's what we're saying. We're saying that we have a previous status, and until we know something changed, we're not going to change the status of this object. Okay. So what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to understand what the Rashba meant when he said that the reason a Svek Sveika goes Luheter is because it's like a rove. In what way is a Svek Sveika like a rove? A rove is a very powerful mechanism in Halacha. So the standard way to explain it is that it's a rove statistically. It's a statistic rove. What do we mean that it's a statistic rove? So the easy way to explain this is if we just assign arbitrary numbers, which we'll have to tweak soon, let's assume that the chances of her having had an affair, tachtov, or say, losing her besulin, not an affair, it's only an affair if it's tachtov, the chances of her losing her besulin before or after erusin, let's say, are 50-50. So let's say that this suffix is 50% and 50%. So we have 50% mutter, 50% usr. But even the tzad of usr, even if it was tachtov, there is a certain statistical chance that it was for ones as opposed to ratzon. Let's say ratzon is more likely, as we see Tosfos is going to say. But let's say for now, actually, that it's 50-50 here. And it could have been ones, it could have been ratzon. So then very clearly, statistically, we have 75% telling us that it's more, so the 50% from here, and the 50% which ends up becoming 25 and 25 in our original computation. So we've got a 75% chance that it's more. That's what we would mean, maybe that's what we mean by rove. When you look, when you have one suffix, it's 50-50. So what do you do when you're 50-50? You have to be machmir. Midiraisa, midirabonim for the Rashba, midiraisa, you have to be machmir. So kosmat, it's a suffix. The din is I have to be machmir. But once you introduce another suffix into the mix, it's no longer a 50-50 suffix anymore. Now it's 75-25. Oh, that's a rove already. Once it's a rove, so I don't have a... If it's a rove, I don't have a suffix. A suffix and a rove are contradictions to each other. If it's a rove, I no longer have a suffix anymore. The rove tells me I can go lekula. This seems to be the way that many achronim understand this idea of rove, and that would be a very nice pshat in the Rashba. that it's a rov, and it's a rov based on percentages. Who learns this way? So let's begin just taking a step back from with taking a look at Tosfos on Daf Tes. Everybody open up Tosfos on Daf Tes. Tosfos, if you remember, this is why it was so important for us to do Tosfos, to really get the Tosfos down a few days ago. So I hope you know the Tosfos well. You remember Tosfos brought up four different possible ways to be matir the Eishes Kohen and the Pusim Ibas Gimel. So Tosfos, a few lines into the Tosfos V'i, Tosfos asks a question. V'im Tomai, V'nukma B'cheskas Heter L'Baila. So we're talking about a different case now. We're talking about the case of a Pusim Ibas Gimel. Chusa mibas gimel. What's the suffix? There's only one suffix by her. What's the suffix? Ones ratzon. So it was definitely tachtov. So we've got ones ratzon. It's 50%. 50%. So that's it. You have to go l'chumra. Correct? That's our gemara. That's why we're machmir. That's what Rabbi Lozer was talking about when he said, "So homer pesach pasuach is nemam la'osra love." It's talking about this case. This case and the Eishes Kohen case. So comes Tosfos and says, why should you leave it as a suffix and be machmir? Can't we use one of our methods to clarify the suffix? Which one? We don't have Eidim. We don't have a rov here. It's 50-50. We don't have a rov. We have a chazaka. Really, what chazaka do we have? We have the fact that she has a cheskas kashrus. She's a good girl. Nice Jewish girl. Have a nice Jewish girl, we find out that she lost her virginity. What are the likelihoods that she had an affair? And what are the likelihood that she was raped? So Tosfos says, listen, we have to be down the kapskos. We have to assume that she was raped. Without, I'm not getting into statistics right now. In Jewish society, that would be the question. In Jewish society, what percentage of women who lose their virginity are doing it beratzon, and how many of them are doing it beonis? That's not the question right now. We're not talking about statistics. Because right now we're assuming it's a 50-50 suffix. 50-50 means it's equally likely this way or that way. That's what we're assuming the statistics are. So you have equal statistics. So what should we do? Damakav schus. She's a good girl. She doesn't have a promiscuous past. If she lost her virginity, it was probably onus. So that's Tosfos' question. We should be siding with onus because she has a cheskas kashrus. That's Tosfos' question. V'yesh lomar. No, it's more complicated than that. Because it's not really 50-50. Because whenever there's an onus, there's a kol. If a woman was raped, so the chances of it being spoken about and people talking about it are much more likely than if she did it beratzon. If she did it beratzon, she tries to hide it. But if she did it, but if it happened beonas, there'd be a kol. And here there's no kol. There's no rumors. No one's talking about it. If no one's talking about it, it's much more likely that it was beratzon. So Tosfos started off by thinking there should be a cheskas kashrus to work out the 50-50. And Tosfos ends off and saying it's not really 50-50. It's really 75%, 25%. And that's the reason we're machmir. How come we're machmir in the case of Chusmi Bas Gimel? Not because it was an even suffix and we went l'chumra. That's what we originally thought. We clarified this in Shir the other day. Why are we really going l'chumra? Because it's a robe that was ratzon. It's a pretty big point that Tosfos has to fill in for us that Mara failed to mention. But now Tosfos has a follow-up question. Wait a second. If you're telling me that onus ratzon is 75%, 25%, so let's go back to our Svek Sveika. The classic Svek Sveika. Not by a Pchusa Mibas Gimel. By a regular girl. What did we say? We said it was 50-50. And really, this we thought this was 25-25. Now we're seeing that that's not really true. Because it's really a 75% chance that it was Ratzon. And a 25% chance that it was Onus. So that's Tosfos' question. In Tomar, in Cain, the Svek Sveika Nami, Te Asar, the Suffolk Onus Kamanda Leisa Dami, the Lo Nishar Elachad Suffolk, Suffolk Tachtov. Ubaha, Lo Shaykh Lokma Becheska Sater, Kedapir Ashna. So Tosfos learns and says, wait a second, this is really a rove. And if it's a rove, that means it's not a Suffolk. And when it's a rove, here, we said it's not a Suffolk. We ended up ruling that it's Ratzon. Why we rule it's Ratzon? The result of this discussion was it was Ratzon. We solved the suffix. It's not a suffix. It's rov ratzon. So it's ratzon. You look at the case, you say, ratzon, you're usser. So in this case also, why do we think it's a suffik? And then that there's another suffik. There's no suffik. There's no tzad of ones. There's only the possibility of ratzon. There's only a possibility of ratzon, because that's the rov. And if there's rov, there's no suffik. So you have a suffik, tachtav ena tachtav. That tachtav is a suffik, because it's 50-50. But on the tzad of tachtav, if it was tachtav, it was ratzon. It's a rov that it was ratzon. That's Tosus's question. Comes Tosus and answers, and says, fine, you're right, it's not really a rov. What do you mean it's not really a rov? You said over here it's a rov. Well, it's a very slight, he calls it a rov sheno gomor. Now, what I think a rov sheno gomor means, he doesn't say what that means. And all the Achronim try to figure out, what does that mean? It's a rov sheno gomor. Omer ri, tzavi ruba deraton, eno rov gomor, ela havi midrabonim. What does that mean it's only a rov midrabonim? It's a rov sheno gomor. L'chora, what that means is, it's not really a rov. It really is a suffik. Oh boy, so let's go back. So it's really a suffik. It's not really a rov. But midrabbanon, we consider it a rov. So now, what does that mean? I think that means that midrabbanon, we assume that it's like 51%, 49%. It's not really a rov. A rov would be 75-25. And if you have 75-25, you know what you paskin? Ratzon, and ones is gone. Because that's it. There's a rov. Right? If you have a piece of meat, and there's a rov that it's kosher, so you don't like eat it and say like, well listen, it might still not be kosher, but I'm going to eat it because there's a rove. No, if there's a rove, you eat the piece of meat because it's not kosher. It's kosher. The rove said it's kosher. So here, we thought it was 75-25, and then we said, wait a second, if it's 75-25, that means there's no suffik, and it's not a svek sveka. So comes the re and says, no, it's really 50-50. But, midrabbanan, we consider it to be a rove. But a small rove. 51-49. Now, why does that help you? So let's say, for instance, in this situation, that's enough to say we're not going to go based on a chazaka if we have a rov, right? We said rov is a much better way of dealing with a suffix than a chazaka. When do we go to chazaka, right? When you're trying to solve a problem, so you have like the first best way to do it. If that doesn't work, then you have the second way to do it. If that doesn't work, the third way. So if you could do a rov, even if it's a very slight rov, we're going to do that before we use a chazaka. So over here, what do we have? We have a chazaka? Yeah, but there's a rove. Now, it's a very slight rove, 51-49. It's a slight rove, but it's enough to win. So that's it. We're going to be machmir, because of the rove. Listen, if it was a safek, we would go l'chorma anyway. But you want to know, can we use a chazaka? No, because we're not going to use a chazaka if there's a rove that opposes the chazaka, even if it's a very slight rove. And therefore, the din is, we're machmir. Now, wait a second. We said if it's a rove, so then there's no suffix over here, because look, you've got 51-49. So says, no, you can't say it's a rove, and therefore, oh, there's no suffix here, because it's 51-49. Right, if I would say to you, getting in a car this afternoon, you have a 99.9% chance that you'll live, it's a 0.01% chance that you'll die. Would you get in the car? The answer is yes, you do it all the time. Everybody knows statistically there's a chance to get killed in a car accident when you get in a car. But it's such an overwhelming majority that that's how we live our life, with everything. But what if I told you it's 51-49? You know, 51% you're going to live, not 49. 51 you're going to live, so get in the car. Then all of a sudden you say, well, why don't I say, you don't live your life as a majority? It's a majority, 51% that you're going to live. The answer is, nobody gets in a car if it's a 51% chance they're going to live and 49% chance they're going to die. Is it not a rove? You're right. Technically it's a rove. But that's not a rove that erases the miut. 99.9% erases the miut. If you asked me, did I risk my life to come to work today? My answer is no. Now you're going to start going, oh really? There's no chance you get in a car accident? So I would say there is, but it's statistically insignificant. So it's erased. As opposed to when it's 51-49, it's not erased, it's right there. It's 49% chance. So that's what I think he tells us to say when he says it's a rove sheno gomor. It's a rove, ein hachanami, and if you need to decide, should I be using a chazaka or a rove? The answer is you use a rove. Rove is better, and it's a rove. But you want to know, is it enough of a rove that it erases the other option, and we no longer have a svek sveka anymore? No, you still have a svek sveka. Tosus says this is very much like the case of the baby. Again, we're not going to get into it right now, but very quickly, the case of the baby with the truma, there's a rove sheino gamor that he was metame the truma. So now what does that mean? What that means is it's a 51% chance that he was metame the truma. Therefore, will we allow the kohen to eat the truma? No, it's 51% chance. It's tame. You can't eat it. Will we burn it? No, we also can't do that. Because that's going lekula. Yeah, you can only burn truma if you know for sure that it's tame. Can you tell me you know for sure it's tame? If it's a 51% chance that it's tame? No. So will we asur the kohen from eating it? Yeah, there's a 51% chance that it's tame. That's majority. You can't allow the kohen to eat it if it's a 51% chance that it's tame. But can we go as far as to burning it? That we can't do either. Because it's a robe sheino gama. Okay. I'll take your questions in 1 second. This has all just been the build-up for trying to prove something about achuzim. Everything we did just now on the board, this we talked about this already last week. But it's good to get it down. Comes the Pnei Yoshua, and the Pnei Yoshua says, wait a second. The implication of Tosfos is that the only reason that the Sfek Sfeika was not destroyed over here on this side, in the classic case, is because it was a Rov Sheino Gamor. It was 51 to 49. If it's 51 to 49, there's still a suffix. So you've got one suffix and then a second suffix. Because listen, it's a Rov Sheino Gamor. Implication being, if it would have been a real Rov, hi, welcome. Please join us. Have a seat. Their seats? Yeah, right? Yeah. So, the implication of Tosfos is very clear that this rove, because it's only 51-49, it can't erase the second suffix in the Sfek Sfeika. You're like right in the middle of something a little complicated, so just, you know, bear with us, yeah. So, rough time to walk in the middle, but you'll be okay. We'll help you out. So, that's the implication in Tosfos. If it would have been a real rove, there still would be a Sfek Sfeika. Sorry, the reason why we said it's still a Sfek Sfeika is because it's a Rov Sheino Gamor. If it would have been a real Rov, then there wouldn't have been a Sfek Sfeika, right? Tosfos is a big question. There's no Sfek Sfeika anymore if there's a Rov. Tosfos answered by saying, oh, it's not a real Rov. Implication, if it would have been a real Rov, then his question would have been right. So if this would have been 75%, 25%, a real Rov, not 51-49. If it would have been 75%, 25%, Stenei Echanami. I agree, there wouldn't have been a Sfek Sfeika. We would have erased the second suffix. Comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, why? As long, even if it was 99% to 1%, there should still be a Sfek Sfeika. Why? Because Eino Tachtav and Tachtav are 50-50. So it's 50% Mutter, 50% Asur. Now out of that 50%, there's a half percent that we're going to be able to stick onto this side. Because this is 99% usser. Okay. So we have 99% of 50. That's going to be 49.5, correct? Yeah. So we're going to have a 49.5% usser. And we're going to have 50.5 that mutter. So at the end of the day, we should say mutter. Why does Tosfos suggest that it's only because it was 51-49 that, you know, that we don't have to erase the Sfek Sfeika. That the Sfek Sfeika exists. Even if it was 99.1%, the Sfek Sfeika should still exist. We should still go Lekula. Because at the end of the day, whatever is left on this side can get added to the Eino Tachtav side. It doesn't matter if it's 49% or if it's 1%. Any little amount pushes you over. This is the Pnei Yeshua's question. And the point of going through the Pnei Yeshua is that you see very clearly how is the Pnei Yeshua understanding the mechanism of a Sfek Sfeika. It's clearly working based on a rove of percentages. And when the Rashba said, you know why a Sfek Sfeika goes Lekula? It's because it's Kirov. What he meant was, it's a rove in terms of percentages. When you count up the percentages, you end up getting to a rove. And when you have a rove solves a Sfek. Now, this question was also asked. So first of all, I'll just say the Pnei Yeshua himself tries to answer this question in a few different ways. He wants to say, you know what, maybe this original rove wasn't really 50-50. Maybe this original rove was, you know, 48-52, which is still equal enough to be called a suffix. Still equal enough to be a suffix. right? We said anyone has a suffix. If something's 50, you know, should I drink the water or not drink the water? Oh, 51% chance that it's not poison. So that I still have a suffix, whether I should need it. I don't feel good about the fact that I have a 1% chance or whatever, a 51 over 49% edging that it's not poison. That's not statistically enough for me to say that there's no suffix here. So maybe this is really only 48%, and therefore if you add the 1% over to the 48%, you're still below the 50% mark. That's one answer that he gives. The other answer he gives is maybe there's a shita of the Rabbanon that whenever you have a rove, the way we look at it is that it cancels out completely the other side. This gets knocked out. When it's 99, when it's a real rove, 99, 75, the other side is kaman d'leisa. We don't say smoke mute. You can't start applying this over to here. This is the way that Pnei Yeshua tries to answer it, and that's not really my point. Because you see that even in his answers, he's still operating with the same mentality, the same mechanism. And that is rove of percentages, of achuzim, of percentages. Both in his question and in his answer, he's working with a question of percentages. Now there was a Rishon, way before the Bnei Yeshua. The Bnei Yeshua lived in the 1700s. There was a Rishon, the Rivash. Rivash was the very end of the Rishonim. So he was probably 150 years earlier, 1500s. And the Rivash was asked a question. And, you know, what's sometimes you have shadows and shubas where you only have the answer. You have to sort of reconstruct what the question was. Here he quotes the questioner, and he goes back and forth within the words of the questioner. So it's pretty clear what the questioner was asking. The questioner asks based on a sugi in Yevamos. The sugi in Yevamos is talking about a woman who, she goes, let's say, to Japan. She goes on a vacation somewhere. She travels to Medina Sayam, and she hears that her husband passed away, and she has no children. So really, she's chayav now in Yibum. But she also knows that when she left on her trip, her mother-in-law was pregnant. Okay?
So we have a woman. I don't remember like which, with those arrows, I don't remember which one's a man, which one's a woman.
So we have a woman. She's married to a man. He dies. She hears that he died. But she also hears that he might have a brother, because she knows that her mother-in-law was pregnant when she left. She just doesn't know what was the outcome of that pregnancy. So the Gemara says as follows. She's not chayav in Yibum. She's able to go get remarried. Why? She can assume her husband has no siblings. What do you mean? But her mother-in-law was pregnant. The answer is because, first of all, 50% man-woman, the child. Was the child a baby boy or a baby girl? It's 50-50. And then, in addition to that, even on the tzad that it was a boy, there is a small percentage of births that the child doesn't survive. Let's say that's 1%. So it's 50-50. Zohar, Nekeva, 50-50. And then, even on the tzad of Zohar, was the child Kayam or Mase? So even if it gave birth to a Zohar, there's a 99% chance that it survived. It's a 1% chance that it died. So therefore, you take this 1%, you add it to the Nekeva side. The Nekeva side is now 50.5, and we can assume that the child was either a girl or a boy who passed away, and this tzad wins. And therefore, she's not chayav in Yibum. That's mefurish in the Gemara Yevamos. So the questioner basically asked this question on our Tosfos, which is the same question of the Pnei Yeshua, just the Pnei Yeshua asked it purely based on logic, and the questioner is asking it from precedent. You see a Gemara in Yevamos where it's explicit that when it comes to the child, Zachar Nekeva, there we say, we do this whole cheshbon of adding the miut, smoke, miut, the mechza. You take the miut that's left over after the second suffix was solved by a rove, let's say 99%, 1%, you take the 1%, you add it to the 50% on the other side, and you solve the, it's a sfex fake. This is even should be by a rove gomor. This is the question of the Pnei Yeshua, and it's also the question that was asked of the Rivash. The Rashash also asks this question, And he asks it within our sugya. And the way he asks the question is one of the Panei Yeshua's answers. But again, everyone's using the same mechanism of thought. And his question is as follows. What if they got married when the girl was five? They did Erusin when the girl was five. Right? Her parents wanted to set her up for the future, so they did Erusin when she was five. She then went back to her parents' home. She lived with her parents until a nice, healthy age of 20. And then when she was 20, she got married. And then the first night, the husband sees that she's not a basula. So he says, oh, you had an affair. She says, whoa, wait a second. Tachta v'eno tachta, 50-50. So you say, wait a minute, 50-50. There were 5 years of eno tachtov. And let's just add that those 5 years were the age of 1, 0 to 5. Not so much bia going on from 0 to 5. And then the years of tachtov are 5 to 20. So it's 15 years versus 5 years. And it's also years that are much more likely that she had bia than these years. And you're going to tell me that, well, 50-50, take the leftover 1, add it to the 50, and you see 50.5 to 49.5. Says the Rashash on our Gemara, it's a ridiculous chishbon. You have to take into account, if you're really playing the statistics game, so you have to get an actuary or a statistician to come down and say, well, what are the chances of tachtav versus eno tachtav? And then within tachtav, let's figure out, is it more likely or is it more likely rotsu? You got to do the research. You can't just say, oh, it's 50-50 as opposed to this one, which was 75-25. Everyone that I quoted just now, the Pnei Yeshua, the questioner to the Rivash, and the Rashash are all operating with the same thought process, which is that the Rove here is a Rove in statistics. Okay. The Rivash, though, comes to answer the question. And the Rivash says that maybe we totally misunderstood what the Rashba meant when he says it goes based on Rove. Because if Rove really meant Rove of statistics, then yeah, we've got lots of questions. We have a question from Yevamos, we have an internal question, we have a logical question. Says the Rivash, I think, and again, he's dealing with his questioner. Remember, his questioner asked from that sugya in Yevamos. I'll write it again on the board. The sugya in Yevamos was Zachar versus Nekeva, and even on the side of Zachar, was it a Kayama or a Mace? So, says the Rivash, when you're dealing with this case, this is pure statistics. Because this first suffix is really 50-50. Male, female, that's a 50-50. And then, Kayim and Mace is also a statistic. There's a statistic out there. He says, but and therefore, it makes sense that this is going to be 50%, this is going to be 50%, and whatever is left over of Mace, even if it's only 1%, is going to be added to the other side and influence the discussion. He said, but in our sugya, we aren't getting involved in tachta versus eno tachta, and onus versus rutzah. That's not what the Rashba meant when the Rashba said, we go based on Rav. Rather, what it meant was that we're doing it based on studim lahatir, Rav studim. Studying means the theoretic possible outcomes to the case. The theoretic possible outcomes. We've got outcome number 1 versus outcome number 2. Within outcome number 2, erase outcome number 2 because it really has tachtov ratzon and tachtov onus. So we've got 1 possible outcome, which is leheter, 2 possible outcomes for letter heter, as opposed to just 1 possible outcome, which is mutter. And therefore, since we've got 2 stadim lahatir, as opposed to 1 stadim kula, lahachmir, we're going to go with the roved stadim lahatir. Not ignoring the statistics, just in terms of possible outcomes from the case. Let's take a look at what he writes here. The Rivash says, Umashik shita al tosfos. The adarava. Ispon lamemer smoch miyat onus lamechta deino tachta. You ask the question on tosfos. I don't understand. Take the leftover miyat and add it to the side of eino tachta. Fahavale tachta birutzon. And therefore, tachta birutzon ends up being the miyat. That's the tzad le'aser. Tachtam Ratzon ends up being the meal when you take this and add Tachtam Ones to Eino Tachtam. So he says, Ibra Vadai Afilu Rabbanan Amrina Smoch Miutl Mechza. He says, I'm going to tell you, you're right. In general, we can do that, as we find in Yevamos, where Yatsa Malaya, if she left pregnant, the mother-in-law left pregnant, Choshesh, you have to be Choshesh. And what's the timer for Rabbi Yoshua? And Rabbi Yoshua says, Eino Choshesh, you don't have to be Choshesh. What's the time of Rabbi Yoshua? Mishum Smoch Miut de Mapilos Lemechza. You have to take the Miut of miscarriages, add it to the Mechza of Nekevos. That's all true in the case of Yevamos. But that's only over there. Because we know for sure the statistics. It's 50-50. And there has to be. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That 50% of babies will be male, 50% of babies will be female. And that's what keeps the world going. And therefore, the possibility of a living zachar to be born is just statistically a meal. Because there are a few that are miscarry. There's no way to get out of it. But in our sugya in Ksuba Taftes, Einanu omrim shana velos biznus mechza tachas ba'alehem u'mechza bilti tachtem. We don't have statistics that 50% of women who lose their virginity, it's because it was after they were married. And the other 50% were before they were married. We don't have those numbers in front of us, kiheicha d'neima, that we can say, smoch miuta l'mechza, that we could take the miut of ones and add it to the eno tachtov, v'natira, d'minayim l'nuzeh, shi'am mechza l'mechza. Why would you ever think that the original cheshbon was 50-50? Aval anu omrim shadavar b'safek. Therefore, instead, we just say it's a safek. Ze efsher kimo ze. These are both two theoretic outcomes. V'yafim nomar smoch miyuta de'ones de'eno latachtav. And even if you would add this percentage to here, akati lo avitachtav mirotzo miyuta b'vadei. You still can't say with absolute certainty that now this is the majority and this is the minority. Because again, what if this was 48% and what if this was 52%? What if she was Eino Tachta from the year 0 until 19 and a half? And then it was 19 and a half until 20 was Tachta. So now it's half a year. And before that, she was in high school and she wasn't so religious. So now you have all these factors that are indicating that there's a good chance it was Eino Tachta. So we can't play this game when it's a question of Tachta, Eino Tachta. There are too many factors. And therefore, we don't look at statistics. And we just say, let's look at possible outcomes. When we look at possible outcomes, it's a 2-to-1 possible outcome in favor of her being mutter. We have to always say, listen, statistically, there's so many different variables here. We have to look at stadim instead of achuzim. So the point here, and again, let's just do the homework and make sure we bring this back. And therefore, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos had said, you know why we don't destroy the Sfek Sfeika? Because it's a rove she'eno gomer, right? Let's just get back into Tosfos, because that's where we started. It's a rove she'eno gomer. What does that mean, it's a rove she'eno gomer? It means it's 51%, 49%. Which means, this is a real tzad, and this is a real tzad. And therefore, when you look at the equation, you still have a sfek sveika, because you have this tzad, and this tzad la'atir, versus this tzad la'asr. But if it would have been a real rove, then what would have happened? If it would have been a real rove, let's say it would have been 99% to 1%. So now, we said, I don't understand. It's still, percentage-wise, you should say, mutter, we should say sfeik sveika. Comes the rivash and says, no, because if it's a real rove wins. 99% wins. There is no one. This tzad is not a real tzad. Again, let's go back to the driving. Will anyone say that when I drove to work today, when I drove to yeshiva today, listen, it was a 99.999% chance that I will not get into a car accident, 0.001% chance that I will get into a... So I had two tzadim in front of me, and I went with the tzad to drive. No, the answer is there was no tzad that I was going to get into a car accident. It's not a real possibility on a given day. It's not a real possibility. And therefore, that's the pshat in Tosfos. If it was a rov gomor, that would mean that the miyut is keman delesa. There is no miyut. If it's a rov gomor. So the rov gomor tells me we have one suffix, and on this side, there is no darno tut sudden. There's only the tzad of ratzon, because onus is a small percentage. And that's why it's only when it's a rov she'eno gomor that we would say, listen, we've got three tzadim here, because this is 50%. This is 50%, 51% of the sentence is 4%. Those are all real tzadim. So it's two tzadim versus one. But if it would have been a real rov, so then this tzad would have knocked out this tzad. We wouldn't have had this tzad, and we would have had one tzad versus another tzad. Okay, what remains to be done in the sugya, we're going to deal with this Mirat Hashem tomorrow, is very nice, fancy footwork by the Rivash. He switched achuzim into tzadim and he saved the day. Question is, what's all the logic behind? Is there any logic behind that? What does that mean? Now that we have two tzadim, how do you ignore the percentages? You're right, it's very hard for us to figure out the percentages. Okay, it's very hard for you to figure out the percentages. That's why actuaries make good money, because it's complicated to figure out percentages. That doesn't mean that you can just say, oh, we don't know what they are, so we'll just ignore them, and we'll just do tzadim. What does this mean, roved tzadim? Especially, is that